began to talk about the concept of a chazaka in performing a mitzvah, meaning if a person serves as a chazan for a certain period of time, or a certain person serves as a bal tokea, or as a rabbi, or as a gabbai, for any period of time, do they have the right to say that now that is considered to be their position and no one has the right to encroach and to take it over in their stead? Somebody asked yesterday a very good question, and that is, how does this impact seats in a shul? Is there such a concept as a chazaka on a makom in a shul? Is it considered to be mine? Do I have the first rights at a certain seat? Or should we assume perhaps that the shul owns all the seats and therefore no individual person has any rights over a particular seat? Now, this is a very important question. And the truth is, there is a certain amount of literature in halacha about this very important question as well. So we begin with the Gemara Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara tells us the importance of being koveya makom bebeis haknesses, of choosing a particular place to daven in a shul. So the Gemara says, Amar Abchelba Amar Abhuna, kala koveya makom letfila. So anyone who is careful to always choose the same spot in a shul to daven, Elokei Avraham be'ezro, God, the God of Avram, will always be there to help you. Ukishameis, and if such a person lives their entire life, always making sure to have the same seat in the shul, always making sure to sit in the same kind of place. So the Gemara says, when that person passes away, we say about them, Hey Chassid, Hey Anav, this person was such a righteous person, such a humble and submissive personality, Mitalmidav Shel Avram Avinu. Now, that is a interesting comment that the Acharonim pick up on. Just because you choose to daven in the same seat every day makes you such a righteous person, makes you such a humble individual. What is so unique about saving the same seat in the shul and always making sure to sit there? So there's an interesting idea mentioned by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, where he writes, we all know a person comes to shul and at some point in your life you've seen that somebody gets angry at the gabbai, they get angry at the rabbi, they get angry at the person sitting next to them, and they decide they're going to choose minyanim, they're going to go to a different shul, they're going to go to a different minyan, they're going to daven earlier or later because I didn't get shlishi when I thought I would get it, I didn't get the aliyah I thought I was going to get, and I had yartzeit, I didn't give me the amud. At some point, we've watched that people get angry, they get agitated, and therefore they change seats. Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, somebody can go through all of life and keep the same seat, means they are hey anav, hey chassid. It means they are a person who is so humble, who is so forthcoming, who is so understanding that even though the gabbai may have slighted me and the rabbi said something I didn't like one week, and this shul is not exactly the flavor that I want it to be, and sometimes things happen in shul that we don't want them to happen, but yet I stick it out and I'm willing to sit in the same seat throughout my entire life, that, says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, is what the Gemara means. Such a person, on them we say, hey anav, hey chassid, because that truly is a mark of humility. For a person to be able to overlook somebody who may have slighted them, somebody who may have said the wrong thing to them, somebody who may not have given them the kavod, the honor, the dignity that they thought they deserved, that's where the Gemara says about them, that they are hey anav, hey chassid. So the Gemara then continues and it says, kala koveya makom letvila. So anyone who is careful always to sit in the same seat, oivav noflim tachtav. The Gemara tells us that whatever it is that you needed will be taken care of. And those adversaries that might be in your way, God will make sure that they will be taken out of your way. And this is something that is reiterated in the Talmud Yerushalmi as well, that a person has an obligation always to be koveya makom letfilaso. So the Rishonim have a disagreement. What exactly does the Gemara mean when it says you have to choose the same seat every time you go to daven? Rabbeinu Yonah says this cannot be talking about in a shul, because in a shul we assume all seats are equal. The entire shul is the Beis Hashem. The entire shul is considered the house of God. The entire shul has the same sanctity. We don't assume that this seat in the shul is more important than that seat in the shul. So therefore, Rabbeinu Yonah argues this cannot be referring to a shul. Rabbeinu Yonah says all seats in the shul are equal, and therefore what the Gemara here means is, if a person davens biyechidus, if a person davens at home, there we say that you should be koveya makom letfilah. So you should find a place in your home that you're going to daven every time that you have to daven there. It should always be the same place. It shouldn't be in a distracting place where you have children running around, where you have somebody who's going to bother you, where you're going to have the phone ringing right next to you. You should find a place in the house that is a comfortable, quiet place, and you'll be able to concentrate on the davening as you properly should. That is the understanding of Rabbeinu Yonah. However, the overwhelming understanding in the Gemara is like the Rush, and that is that the Gemara here is referring even to a Beis HaKnesses, and that means when a person comes to daven in a shul, it is not good enough that you come to a shul, but a person should be careful to also choose a particular place in the shul. And that is the way the Shulchan Aruch understands it as well, that yes, it's true, the entire shul has the status of Kedusha, it is all considered to be a Beis Hashem, But we assume that a person should be vigilant to choose a place in the shul that is comfortable for them, and that is the place he should always daven. Why is it that we have an insistence on people making sure to choose the same seat whenever they come to a shul? That is a very good question. And the reason for that is because, number one, some Rishonim say, because kavanaso mitsuya biyoser, because a person is able to concentrate more when they're used to the settings, when they're used to the surroundings that they're sitting in. So let's say I come to a new shul, and it's a shul I've never been to, and I'm going to start looking around and wondering, wow, look at this beautiful artistry, look at the way it was constructed. I'm going to have all kinds of distractions. But if I have the same seat every single time I come to the shul, and I know already all of my surroundings, I know all of my neighbors, there's nothing unusual about the place that I'm sitting in, there's nothing that can catch my attention outside of the davening, that says the Meiri is the reason why one should be careful always to choose the same seat. Others say differently. The Arizal writes, the reason why is, he gives al derech hamashal, he says, if you have, let's say, a fortified city, and you have an army that's trying to break through the walls, so let's say you'll send the army one day to try to break through here, and they cannot successfully make it through. Then you're going to send them a few blocks away, try to break through over there. Then another day they're going to go in a different place. It's all going to amount to nothing. What the smartest way to deal with it is to have the army keep on knocking at the same place in the wall, keep on trying to bang the wall in the same spot, and after a certain period of time, obviously they will be successful. The wall cannot be that strong, cannot be that fortified, and therefore, says the Arizal, that's what it means. If a person is kovea makom litfilaso, means you're showing God, I'm going to try to break through the wall over and over again. I'm going to try to break it through in the same spot over and over again. And hopefully we assume that God will successfully accept our prayers after offering them enough times. And that, says the Arizal, is also what it means. Kaveh el Hashem, the Pasuk says in L'David Hashem Ori, we say it every day during Chodesh Elul. Kaveh el Hashem, we should daven to Hashem. Chazak v'yamitz lebecha. V'kaveh el Hashem, and you pray to God once again. Why do you bother God so many times about the same request? Shouldn't it be a little bit disrespectful that I ask God, Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafa'i, I have somebody sick in my family, make them healed, and make them healed, and make them healed. I ask him every single day the same thing. The answer, says the Arizal, is yes. It's like a big fortified city. And all you have to do is just offer the same tefillah over and over again. Perhaps at some point you will be able to poke a hole. Perhaps you will at some point be able to be successful in making your way through and entering that city. And that is what the Arizal suggests, is the idea behind the kavias makom bebeis haknesses, that you choose a place in a shul that is comfortable for you. So what exactly is the status of my seat? So here I am, I have a seat in the shul. So we know that there are many batei knesios, there are many shuls who, as a gimmick to try to make money, what do? When the building is being built, they tell people, if you give a certain amount of money, we're going to give you 3 seats in the shul for Yom Nerun. That's going to be yours. I know in DRS here down the block, when they started that minyan, they decided what the price was going to be, and from that time on, I think I was told it's closed out. You cannot buy a new seat ever since it was filled up. Everybody who paid money then, that's your seat forever. So what exactly is the status? Do I really have ownership of that seat? And what happens when I'm not there? Let's say I go to Eretz Yisrael this year for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and now I'm not around. Do they have a right now to give away my seat to somebody else for the year? Or do I have a right to give it away? How exactly does that work? How exactly does the seat relate to me? That's a very good question. The Ramah in Chosha Mishpat actually discusses this issue, and the Ramah writes as follows. He says, Ashir sheyesh lo makomos rabim. Let's say you have a wealthy person who at the time that the shul is being built, they give an exorbitant amount of money with the understanding that I'm going to be entitled to, let's say, 10 or 20 seats in the shul. So that was the understanding that we had. And now, b'nei ha'knesses ba'im, now we have the shul is filling up. At the time that I contributed the money, I was one of the only founders of the shul who was there. Now the shul is becoming more popular. Now we need those 10, 20 seats that were given to me, but they're not going to take it away from me. After all, they promised it to me. So what do? They decide, instead of taking my seats away, we're going to add a number of seats around my seat. So we're going to add another bench. We're going to add people in the aisles. We're going to have people sitting all over the place. In order that we should be able to raise more money for the institution. And we also want that more people should come and be able to be comfortable in the shul. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Ha'ashir yachil limchos. I, the wealthy person who bought those 10, 20 seats originally, has the right to object. I can oppose them putting people in the aisles and putting people in my way. B'taina, because I could say, Shemetzer lo haderech. It's annoying for me. You sold me 10 seats. Now you're going to put people in the aisles. It's going to be harder for me to get in and out of my seat. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch says, I have a right to say that I object to your adding seats after you already sold them to me. Miu. If this is the practice in the city, that every time a shul is built, this is what we do, so then says the Rama, that obviously was the understanding when we sold you the seats as well. The Rama then goes so far as to say that if a person no longer needs a seat, let's say I used to have every Yom Tov, I used to have 10 people came to my house for Yom Tov, and now nobody's coming anymore. Now I'm just left alone by myself. So now I have many empty seats. So I want to sell them back to the shul, right? Let's say when DRS starts the minyan, I thought I would need a certain amount of seats. It turns out I don't need that. Now I want to sell them back, that they should sell it to someone else. So the Rama even quotes in the name of the Mordechai, we have an idea called Dina de Bar Metzra, which means when you have two people who own properties right next to each other. So let's say I'm a neighbor of yours, and now I want to sell my house. So the first right of sale is to my neighbor, because it's only fair that he should be the one to have the first dibs at buying the property. So too over here says the Rama, if I had a seat that belonged to me in the shul, and now I decide that I don't need the seat anymore, I want to sell it back to the shul, says the Rama, Dina de Bar Metzra applies to my seats as well. Dina de Bar Metzra would apply that I have to first offer it not back to the shul, but rather back to the people who are sitting next to me. They have the first rights at my seat, which is a very important chiddush that one has to think about when considering these issues. And basically what you see from here is that the Rama assumes that when we have somebody who purchases a seat in a shul, that means the seat is really theirs. It means the makam is considered to be really theirs, and they purchased it b'kinyan gamar, and it is assumed that there is no way for the shul to take that seat away from them. The Chasam Sofer has a story, which is a fascinating one, that there was a shul that suffered from a flood or a hurricane, whatever it may have been, and the shul had to be totally taken down and rebuilt. So the Chasam Sofer says that after they rebuilt the shul, there were old members of the shul who came back and said, the shul is built in the same spot where it was. I bought, when the shul was originally built before the flood, I bought these 10 seats, and now that we have a new shul, I want to have the same 10 seats in the front row that I bought originally. The new membership of the shul says, what do you mean? That was the old shul. Now we have a new shul. Obviously, we're going to honor it. We're going to give you some seats, but there's no reason to assume you should have the same seats you had in the old building. So the Chasam Sofer writes that he thinks the old members have the right of way. He says it's clear in his mind, Shebali hamakomos bebeis haknesses, that the people who bought seats in the original place, it's not just that we assume the bench belongs to them or the chair belongs to them, and now that it's been destroyed, let them go find another place to sit. No, it means the makom itself. It means the actual place where they bought. It means the location, the section, the area of the shul where they originally sat belongs to them. That's what they paid for. And they have every right to demand that now that they built a new shul in the same spot, they take the very same selection, the very same location in the shul, the same spot. So that's a good question. Wouldn't that be menschlichkeit in general? If only all rules in a shul worked on menschlichkeit, we would save ourselves from a lot of problems. What? Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good question. You know, it's interesting that you mention it because the Rama talks about a case. You think that shul politics is something new. The Rama has a case that was way before our generation where the Rama says from earlier generations, he quotes a story where he says you had two people who bought seats in a shul, Reuben and Shimon. And Reuben decides that, you know, back then they didn't have such crowded shuls. They gave people a little bit of room to breathe a little bit. And he says that Reuben has the seat and Shimon has a comfortable seat next to him. And Reuben decides, you know what? I'm getting a little uncomfortable with the fact that Shimon is always davening so loud or whatever it is. I'm not going to kick him out of his seat, but I want to put up a mechitza between my seat and his. Says the Rama, somebody comes to the shul board and says, I'll pay for it. I don't want anyone else to pay. But I'm not comfortable with the guy who's sitting next to me. I'm not going to throw him out and I'm not moving my seat. I just want to put up a mechitza. And when I put it up, I'm not going to encroach on his space. I'm going to put it in my space. It's not going to take away anything from him. So the Rama talks about that story and he says, well, do you really have a right to do that? Maybe when I bought my seat in shul, I bought it with the view also. I bought it with the fact that I can look around and I don't have to look at a brick wall in my way. So shul politics is an old story, and that's what the Rama mentions here. But
even in that case, you would tell the guy, you know, if you can't look at the guy, then you go to a different shul.
Right, so menschlichkeit would dictate that, you know, go to a different shul, go somewhere else. And that's what the Rama writes. Hadin imo v'yachal imchos. I have a right to object and say, what do you mean? When I bought my seat, I assumed that the seat was going to be open and I was going to be able to look around the shul and see the Baal Tokeh and the Baal Kriya and everything, and I wouldn't have a mechitza around me. Yes, now you're uncomfortable with my sitting next to you. Well, that's too bad. You have to figure something out for yourself. So that's a story the Ramah writes. One final issue that is mentioned in the Achronim, and I find this very amusing, because it shows you the greatness of a Gadol B'Yisrael, of a great posik, that sometimes they're able to take something from a very unusual source and apply it in order to give an answer that's necessary. So the story goes with the Levushei Sarad. He was one of the great Gedolim in Ukraine, and he was living at the end of the 1700s, beginning of the 1800s, and the story came to him that there were two individuals who were in a shul, and the shul now had to expand. So the shul decided, we don't want to knock down the building and redo like we all do today. They just decided, we're going to knock out the wall a little bit. We're going to extend the shul from the place where it used to be. We're going to extend another few benches. So that's what they did. And they decided to just bang out the wall a little bit and restructure the shul. Everything stayed the same, except they moved the Aron Kodesh, let's say, from the middle of the shul to the new middle of the shul. It used to be in one place, and now since they extended the wall, it was somewhere else. So the question that was raised was, what do you mean? When I bought my seat, I wanted to be right in front of the Aron Kodesh. I wanted to be the closest one to the Bima. I wanted to be the closest one to some selection of the shul that to me was very meaningful. Now you decided you're going to knock down the wall, and now all the proportions of the shul are a little bit off, so you decided to move the Bima or to move the Aron Kodesh. Now my seat, although it stayed in the same place, now everything else moved around me. So do I have a right to claim that I should be moved over also? Because at the time that I bought my seat, I bought it with intent that I wanted to be in front of the Aron. Or could you say that, look, we kept you where you are. Nobody moved you. You have your seat that you bought. We just moved the shul around you, but nothing about you has changed. So that was the question that was raised, and they brought it up to the Levushei Sarad. Listen how he answered. Such a brilliant answer. I don't know if it's the right answer or the wrong answer, but it's a fascinating answer nonetheless, and then we'll dive in Mincha. He says, in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Torah tells us that at some point God changes Sarah Imenu's name to be Sarah. It used to be Sarai, and now it was Sarah. And the Talmud Yerushalmi tells us that at that point, when that happened, the letter Yud came with a complaint, registered a complaint against God. How do you take me away? I used to be with the name Sarah, I used to be a part of it, Tzadikas, now you took me away. Now what it means that a letter complains, I don't know exactly, but the Yerushalmi says that's what happened. So the Yerushalmi says that God answers and says the following, don't worry, I'm going to take you. You were at the end of the letter, you were at the end of the word Sarai, now I'm going to put you at the beginning of a word of a Tzadik. What is that? Hoshea. His name used to be Hoshea ben Nun, now God changed it to Yehoshua, so he took the Yud from the letter Sarai that was at the end, and he put it at the beginning. So the Gemara says that the letter Yud was appeased, good, we made a deal, it's perfect, no problem. Ask the Levushei Sarad, I don't understand. How come the hey from the word Hoshea didn't complain? I used to be at the beginning of the word Hoshea, now you took away my spot. I used to be the first letter of his name, and now you put the Yud in front of me. What right do you have to move me around? The answer, says the Levushei Sarad, is because we didn't move you around. We kept you where you were. You didn't move around, we just put somebody else in front of you. And he said, that's the same over here. When we reconfigure a shul, and your seat stays everywhere that it was, you originally bought a seat and you intended to be at a certain place in the shul, and it turns out you remained there. Nobody moved you away from where you were. We just put somebody else in front of you. Or we extended the shul, now we put another bench there. That, said the Levushei Sarad, is something you can't have a taina. Just like the hay can't have a taina, why it is that you put the yud in front of me, so to a person in a shul can't have a taina, why did you put something in front of me? These are, in my opinion, fascinating halachas, only because it's a sensitive issue that people deal with when we have a certain makam in a shul and we consider it to be personally mine and I have some sort of connection with that makam. And the question is, how much of a connection do I really have? And the Ramah in Chosha Mishpat takes it pretty seriously. He says, yes, when you buy a seat in a shul, it means it's really yours. And if you decide one year you're not going to be there, the Ramah says they have to rent it out from you because really we assume that that makam actually belongs to you. If you buy a seat in a shul, we assume that that seat in the shul really does have some sort of relationship with you. And therefore, the Ramah tells us one has to be very careful in following many different halachas and chosha mishpat when it comes to a shul setting, the same way one would have to follow when it comes to any communal issue with regard to chosha mishpat as well.